Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is taken from the Old Testament lesson of the royal procession. See, your great King comes to you, as recorded in Zechariah chapter 9. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, yes, it was a royal visit. As you watch television, maybe you have seen some of the royal visits over in England. And it is all pomp and circumstance for Queen Elizabeth II. I don't think a queen or a president has ever come to Shum. But if a queen or a president ever comes here, they would expect pomp and circumstance. That's just what they expect. Well, you see, in Jerusalem on that day of Palm Sunday, there was a royal visit. And yes, there was pomp and circumstance, but not as you and I would think of it. You see, the pomp and circumstance involved these palm leaves and garments being thrown on the ground before the great king who was riding on the foal of a donkey. Why palm leaves? Have you ever wondered about that? You see, to the Jewish mind, the palm leaf comes from the palm tree, and the palm tree is the perfect tree. It grows tall and straight and sturdy. It provides good food. The palm leaves are wide and they're beautiful to look at. And the palm tree is known to live for over 200 years. A sign of life. And for the Jews, this leaf was also a sign of victory and salvation. You see, when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem, they were using these leaves and they were throwing them on the ground as a sign that they were going to have life and salvation. Life and salvation from what? You see, they were expecting life and salvation from the dreaded Romans. These people were actually awaiting a political Messiah, a political king. And they were shouting out, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest!" Hosanna meaning save us. Save us right now. Save us from this oppression that we are feeling from the Romans. We want life so we can lead our lives the way we want to lead our lives. And we want to be free of these Romans. We want salvation from them. Most people think that the palm leaf is a sign of victory. Well, to the Jewish mind, it wasn't. But to us, it is. It is a sign of victory for you and for me. We see this in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. Where you and I, when we are standing before the great throne of our King, we will be holding a palm leaf, a sign of victory. For the victory has been won for us, and we now share in that victory. And we will wave those palm leaves, and we will be shouting out, "He has saved us, the great King, Jesus has saved us." It will be a time of rejoicing, yes. Now, unfortunately, there are no palm trees in Shum. Maybe I'll think of planting one, but you know what? It won't grow very well. We just have to use palm leaves like this from the florist. But what's important about these palm leaves here at Shum is that it reminds us that we do have victory, we do have life, we do have salvation. You see, kids, your moms and dads, and when you get older, you'll want to be free. You'll want to have a political king too. You want to be free from an oppressive government. You want to be free of politicians, basically, who tell you one thing and do just the opposite. That's the definition of a politician sometimes. But when we do find a good politician, we like that politician because he goes into battle for us. He goes in against a government agency that is doing us wrong. For you farmers, you love the politician who will stand up to those who want to take away your livelihood by forcing you to do things that you know just isn't right. You see, We like the politician. We like the king when he does good for us. And even though Jesus isn't a political king, we know that he is a king. He is our king. He is the victorious king. He's the king of the universe. But most of all, Jesus is the humble king. Jesus is the king who said that he came not to be served, but to serve for the many, to give his life for all. He had no royal steed. Yes, as you have heard, he rode on a little donkey. But he goes immediately into battle. My friends, do you remember the first thing that Jesus did after he rides into Jerusalem? He goes to the temple and he cleanses the temple. He goes into battle. What does he do after that? He goes into battle against the chief priest and the scribes and the Pharisees. He goes to battle with his words. Jesus doesn't use a weapon. He uses the weapon, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And it slays each time. But by the end of the week, as you have all heard, the great king who went into battle, well, it seems like he lost. The king, the great king Jesus, lost the war. He lost his battles. Say it's not so. But he did die, didn't he? He was here on the cross, and he hung here, and he bled, and a sword was thrust into his side. And he died. Jesus died. He was dead, placed into a tomb. And people thought that this king is no king. He's a false king. He's not the Messiah. But you see, God in heaven for you and for me had a perfect plan. Because this king was a perfect king. You see, evil thinks that it triumphs. And my dear friends, you think that sometimes too. The problems that you have in life seem to just overwhelm you. You're surrounded by evil all day long. We saw that evil prominently displayed this week as a pilot purposely flies his airplane into a mountain just because he broke up with his girlfriend. People say it wasn't suicide. That may be true. I would call it murder. Yet, even though you're beset by this evil, yes, and even in your sin, you remorse over your sin. Because we have a weapon that we use. It's not the Word of God, but it's this little weapon we have in our mouth. And we use it to slay our friends. We use it to slay our wife and our husband and our children. And our classmates. We take away from them their life. We take away from them their honor. We take away from them their good name. And ultimately, we stand up to God and say, I am God, and you're not. I'm the one who is important here. And God, what have you done for me? It all comes back, yes, to the first commandment, which all of you know. Yet, in our humble repentance, as we come here to this place with a broken and contrite heart, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And he cleanses us. Yes, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, the humble king, did win the war. He won the war for us. And his humbleness was his great weapon. The sword of the Spirit he used to slay the evil of the world and the devil himself. Jesus wins. He wins by not exalting himself. He wins by his innocence. Jesus wins, my young friends, by his perfect obedience. Just as we're called to be obedient to our parents and to our God. Jesus wins by his active righteousness, which freely gives to you and to me eternal life. Yes, Jesus gives to us life and salvation, and therefore it is right, as did the people shout, we also should shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. and we would be shouting it properly. For we know that Jesus isn't a political king. He is the King, our great King, the King who has saved us from death, sin, and hell. Thus, we hear this morning that we are members of a new covenant. This new covenant is completed. It's completed right here, and it was the plan of God all along. It was sealed in the blood of Jesus, and that covenant sets each and every one of you free. Free from sin, free from death, free from the power of the devil. That doesn't mean that you won't sin. That doesn't mean that you won't die. And that doesn't mean that Satan still tries to exert his power over you. All of these things are true. We are sinners. We will die. And Satan does have power over us in his tempting of us. But Jesus has set us free from the effects of sin. We will not die eternally. And Satan truly has no power over us to drag us into hell with himself. Save us. Save us. Save us. Yes, my dear friends, he has. He has saved you. You have been claimed as his child in your baptism. When each and every one of you were baptized here, Jesus saved you. You are restored, for you have just confessed your sins and you have heard the absolution. You have been restored by your King. You are renewed each time you come to this altar to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Your faith is strengthened. You are renewed, ready to go into this world and face the battles once again. Yes, my friends, Jesus gives to you and to me freely life and salvation and the victory. So rejoice! Rejoice greatly, daughters and sons of Zion. Shout out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Your humble King comes to you. Today, he comes to you. Not on the foal of a donkey, but in water, in bread, in wine, in word. He doesn't enter into a city, but he comes into his kingdom. He comes into this place bringing peace amidst all the hatred and turmoil and evil of this world. There is no stopping him. He is your victorious King who announces the forgiveness of sins to each and every one of you. Your humble, victorious King has set you free. And if the King sets you free, my dear friends, since your sins have been forgiven, you truly are free indeed. See, your great King, Jesus, comes for you. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.